Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Chof Zayin. We continue with the topic of associating a placenta found in a house with a birth. Namely, even though we don't see an aborted fetus or a discharged, miscarried fetus, we still will assume that there is such a thing has been in the house as a result of our discovery of a placenta known as a shilya. The Gemara. Omar Rabo Bar Shilo Omar Rav Maton Omar Shmuel. Maise, an incident happened. V'tolu es hashilyo bevlad. They associated a shilyo with a vlad ad asora yomim. Up till 10 days. V'lo omru toilin elo b'shilyo habo achar havlad. In other words, what happened here is there was a child released, an embryo that was discharged, and then 10 days later a placenta was found, was discharged, and we say that the placenta is that of the child that was 10 days before, and that this does not represent a new birth. Of course, as we've learned in previous sugyas, all of this has a nafgamina legabi, is a practical application regarding the mother, the woman, and how she counts her tuma cycle. Omar Rabo Babachano, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Before we go on, let us just emphasize that the last point of the Gemara of Lo Omru Tolin El Bashila Bo Achar Avlad is that the order is of significance as well. In other words, there's first a baby emerges, and then 10 days later, or up till 10 days later, the placenta emerges. And we're saying that if it's in that order, first embryo and then placenta, we associate the placenta with that particular embryo. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Maise v'tolu es hashilyo b'vlad ad esrim v'shloshi yomim. An incident is reported here where they associated with a miscarriage with the placenta with a miscarriage up to 23 days. Omar le Rav Yosef ad Choftalid Amrislon. Oh, you told us it was 24 days. In other words, the child emerged, and then 24 days later, a placenta emerged, and we say that that placenta is associated with the child that had been born 24 days earlier. We should point out before we go further that the diamonds that you see here are featured on the margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei, the topic heading, and Mivneh, a structural note, where you can see a diamond has been featured, and the word Maisa in quotation marks indicating that's the word that we've highlighted. These are Mikrim, these represent incidents, Shebohem Shoho Hashuyo Lotseis Achre Hoylodes Havlad, that the incidents where the placenta delayed in emerging after the birth of a child. Another point that we should make and clarify, possibly a correction, is that true in the previous sugya we spoke about shilyas and discharge and baby births that we couldn't identify, miscarriages, etc. Rashi points out that where the word Vlad appears, that is a reference to an actual birth and not just a miscarriage, so that we don't have to limit our discussions to cases of miscarriages, but rather actual births, so that we're seeing situations or stories where an actual birth took place of a living child, and many days later there was a shilya discharge, the placenta emerged. And we're saying that we are able to associate this shilya with that Vlad that was born so many days earlier, and not have to impose a new tumah cycle on the woman. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Acha Brei Rav Avira Omar Rav Yochanan Maisa v'nishtohe Havlad Acher Chaveroi Shloishim v'shloisha Yom. An incident happened where where babies were born 33 days apart from one another. Omar Le Rav Yosef Lamed Dalid Amrislan. You taught us that it was 34 days. We should point out that our topic heading for this section of Gemara is the written on the margin, Nosei Shehiya Bein Hoilodas Shnei Vlodos. This last incident features a delay of 33 or 34 days between two babies. So that's Rav Yosef comments. Interestingly, just like he commented in the previous discussion, he also gives his version of the incident by adding a day. And he says here, Lamedalid Amuslan, it was a 34 delay between the birth of two children. A rather great gap in what would appear to be a twin birth. The Gemara goes on and says, Honicha, this calculation of 33 days between two births works out well. Lamanda Omar Yoledes Letisha Yoledes Lemekutoin, that a 9-month pregnancy is not necessarily a full 9 months, but a shortened 9 months. Mekutoin literally means a cut off. In other words, 8 full months plus a day or two. So Mishkachas law, we can make an accounting of this gap between the two babies as follows. Echod nigmura tsurasoi l'soiv shiva. It was it's a twin birth. That means they were conceived at the same time. One simply was completed after 7 full months and emerged. The echod nigmura tsurasoi l'tchilas tisha. And the second child, was completed, its form was completed at the beginning of the 9th month. So when you calculate from the end of 7 complete months till the beginning of the 9th month, you will find 33 days. Elo lamanda omar yoledes letisha eino yoledes lemekutoyin. But according to the opinion that a 9-month pregnancy must be a complete 9 months, in other words, there isn't such a thing as a living baby, and we're talking about living babies here, because as we mentioned before, and you can see this in the Rashi, the word Vlad is used as opposed to the word Nefel. Nefel means a miscarriage. The word Vlad indicates a living child. So according to the opinion that a living child is not born other than a complete 9-month pregnancy, my ikolamema, how do you account for a 33-day gap between two births? So the Gemara answers, Apel Shmaitza. Switch around the incidents that we had, that we've learned above, with regard to Rabbi Yochanan's teachings. In other words, we had a Rabbi Yochanan that you'll notice above that spoke about a 23-day gap between two incidents, and a second Rabbi Yochanan teaching involving a 33-day gap between two incidents. So as far as that is concerned, switch around the incidents and teach as follows. Lamed Gimel L'Shilya, the 33-day gap is associated with the delay between a birth and the subsequent Shilya emergence. And therefore, we don't have to account for a twin birth, but rather the association of the Shilyab with the preceding Vlad, and Chof Gimel Vlad. And the 23-day gap is appropriate for the story involving the birth of the two babies. And that can be explained by seven-month pregnancies. And Rashi explains that seven-month pregnancies, everyone is in agreement, could involve a Shiva Mikutoi. It means a partial seven, namely 6 full months and a couple of days, and also a birth at the end of the seventh month. That being the case, we can account for a twin birth, but with a gap of 23 days between them, one child emerging at the beginning of the seventh month of pregnancy, and the other child emerging 23 days later toward the end of the seventh month. Omar Rav Ovin bar Rav Ado, Omar Rav Menachem, Ish Kfar Shorim, the Amilah, another version of the name place is Beis Shorim as opposed to Kfar Shorim. Maise v'nishtoye Vlad achar chavero shloisha chadoshim vareihem yoshvim lefoneinu bebeis amedrash. There was an incident involving a twin birth, two children born with a 3-month gap between them. Uman ninhu, this story tells us that, and they are here sitting in front of us in the Beis Medrash. Uman ninhu, who are these two brothers? Yehuda v'chizkia b'nei Rabbi Chiya. The two sons of Rabbi Chiya. One's name was Yehuda, the other one is Chizkia. How can you account for such a long gap between two children when we know that when a woman becomes pregnant, she doesn't become pregnant again? In other words, once a woman conceives and starts carrying a child, she doesn't become pregnant again with a second child until she delivers the first child. So how do you account for a 3-month gap between the birth of these two brothers? Omar Abaye, Tipo Achas Hoysa. In fact, there wasn't a two conceptions that took place, but it was one conception. That's Tipo Achas Hoysa, one drop there was. V'nischalko l'shtayim, and it split into two. Echod Nigmar Tzurosa B'tchilas Zayin. After that conception that split into two separate embryos, one developed more rapidly. It developed and was completed by the beginning of the seventh month. The Echod B'soif Tishan, the other one, took longer to develop, and it was completed and was born at the end of the ninth month. So if you make a calculation from beginning of 7th till end of 9th, you will find 3 months. The Gemara continues, Shilyo bebayis, habayis tomei. If one finds a placenta in a house, and we don't see any children that are born together with it, we nevertheless say that there was a miscarriage or a discharge of an embryo, and as a result of that, there is tumas oil, that's called tumas mace, that generates or projects tuma throughout that everything under the same roof. The Gemara continues presenting a Tanaic source, Tana Rabbanan, Shilya Babayas, Abayas Tomei. If a shilya is found in a house, the house is said to experience tuma. Lo shehashilya vlad, not that the shilya itself is the child. Elo she'en shilya she'en vlad imo. Rather, you don't have a situation of a placenta being released without there having been a child born. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Mitarin. They are of the opinion that the fact that you see a shilya doesn't mean that there is tumas mace in the house, that the house is tomei. Omru lo l'Rebbe Meir. They said to Rebbe Meir, who was Machmir, he said that there is Tumah in the house. So they said to him, Yata Moide, would you not concede Shim Hotziuhu Besefel Labayas Hachitzon Shehu Tohor, that if they carried the placenta in a basin to another house, that Bayas Hachitzon is in this case a reference to another house, that the other house would be tohor, meaning there would be no tuma just because the placenta is in the other house. Omar lahen avol. So Rabbi Meir said to them, avol means yes, I agree that the other house will not experience tuma, even though there is this placenta now in that second house. The loma. Well, why is there no tuma in the second house? Lefi she'eno. Because the embryo is not there. And how do you explain that? Well, that's because it was in the carrying of the placenta in the basin from one house to the other, there's a lot of movement and shaking. And as a result of that, the whatever placenta there may have been becomes dissolved. So Omru Lo, they said to Rabbi Meir, Kishem Sheinu Bebayas Achitzon, just like the child, the the miscarriage is not in that second house, just like you just admitted that by virtue of your conceiving that the second house is Tohar, Kach Eino Bebayas HaPnimi, it's also not to be worried about as far as being in the first house, in the original house either. Omar Lahen, so Rabbi Meir said back to them, Eino Doma Nimoik Pam Achas La Nimoik Shnei Pa'omim. You can't compare the dissolving of one time, in other words, in the initial house, to the dissolving as a result of being carried into a second house with all of the movement and shaking that was involved. The Gemara continues and will shed some light onto the source we just read. What do we mean by dissolving and yes and no regarding Tuma in the first house versus the second house? So Yosef Rav Popa Achuri Rav Bevai Kameid Rav Hamnuna. Rav Popa was seated behind Rav Bevai, who was in front of Rav Hamnuna. The Yosef Ka'omar, my taimo de Rebbe Shimon. What is the reason for Rebbe Shimon? The Rashi explains, my taimo de Rebbe Shimon, nehi de nimoik, granted that it's dissolved, mikol mokoim, even though it's dissolved, kol gufo shel meiskan, the entire body of that, the entire body of that which was an embryo is here. Have v'have le kerekev u'kenetzel. It's no different than laws governing rekev and netzel are cases of decomposition of the dead. That's besar hameh sheni moach v'nasa lechasrucha. And the rule is regarding that decomposed flesh of the dead, it communicates or generates tuma. So why is it that Rabbi Shimon is going so far as to say that even in the first house where you found the placenta, and we're assuming that you're dealing with a dissolved embryo, why is there tahara there in that first house? So the Gemara answers, Kosovar, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion, kol tuma shenisarev bo mimin acher betela. When you have tuma, in this case we're talking about tumas mace, and some other substance gets mixed in, even if the other substance happens to be a source of tuma, but it's a different type of tuma, so it cancels the first tuma. So in this case, you have not just the embryo itself, but there were other fluids that are mixed in. Omar Luhu Rav Popa. Hainu Naimi Tamayu de Rabbi Huda Rabbi Yossi. Rav Hamnuna, who was present in that little interchange, he speaks up and says that the reason given for Rabbi Shimon is also appropriate for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. If you see in the original source, they were together with Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Popa points out that those who were together with Rabbi Shimon would be based on that very same reason. Achiku Alei, those that were seated there, laughed at Rav Popa. My shna, pshita, what difference could there possibly be between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon? They're all saying the same thing, so it's obviously the same reason that applies to all of them. So it appears in this little incident that they laughed at Rav Papa for saying that which was obvious. Omar Rav Papa, afilu ki ha milsa, lemo inish, velo nishto kame rabe. Even something that seems to be simple, but your purpose in speaking up is for the sake of clarification. Speak up, even at the expense of being ridiculed. Mishum shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, im navalto behisnasei v'im zamoisa yad lepeh, which is found in Sefer Mishlei, and Sefer Mishlei deals with the study of Torah. There are a lot of analogies in that Sefer, hence its name Mishlei, from the word mushal, or examples, or analogies, parables, dealing with Torah study. So the Pasuk says, Im Novalta, if one makes himself like a Nevela. A Nevela is dead meat. It's something that's associated with that which is disgusting, or in this case, something that's the subject of ridicule. Behisnasei, that has to do with rising, like the word nosa or nosi are expressions of that which is on high. So the person who makes himself or subjects himself to ridicule for the sake of Torah learning, he will eventually rise. V'im zamosa, the word zamosa is like a zmoma, which is a muzzle. Then yad lepeh, a person will place his hand on his mouth, meaning that when eventually he is asked questions, and in earlier he had muzzled himself up and did not want to subject himself to ridicule over Torah study, so eventually yad lepeh, when he is asked questions, he will not know the answers, and until place his hand over his mouth, saying, so to speak, I don't know. The Gemara continues. V'osta Rabbi Shimon Litame. Rabbi Shimon, who was mitahir in this incident regarding the house in which the shilya was found, and the basis of that was that other substances are mixed in with the dissolved fetus, Rabbi Shimon is consistent with that which he said elsewhere. Desanya. Here we have a source that says Moloi Tarvid Rekev Shinofa Lusoichu Ofer Kolshehu Tomei for Bishimon Mitaher. Let's explain this case. Moloi Tarvid Rekev. A Tarvid is literally a spoon. And this is describing a spoonful, and the spoon referred to here is something that has a definite shiur. It's a known shiur, known quantity, known as a Moloi Tarvid. So it's this quantity of rekev. Rekev is the decomposition of a corpse. And this is capable, this amount is capable of generating tumas oihel. That's the tuma that is experienced when a mace is under the same roof or overhang as some other substance. The other substance will absorb tuma because of it being under the same roof. So, Molo Tarvid Rekev, into which there fell some dirt, some grains of dirt, it remains tomei. Rabbi Shimon, though, has the unique shita that says that it's tohor, that since dirt got mixed into this decomposed corpse material, it neutralizes it. My time of Rabbi Shimon. What's the basis of Rabbi Shimon? Omar Rabba. Ashkachtinu l'rabbonon de'beirav de'yasvi v'karmi. So Rabbah says, I met up with the students of the yeshiva, and they were saying, we've squiggle underlined the de'yasvi v'karmi, we're going to see his response to them in the next line where we've also squiggle underlined. So they said, E efshir shelo yarbu shtei predis ofer al predo achas shorekev v'chosir lei. It's my impression that we're dealing in this Gemara with an exact shiur of Malot Tarvid Rekev. Given that you have an exact quantity of the Rekev, and now you have some dirt that got mixed in, so it's they were explaining that it's impossible to not have a situation where two grains of dirt are surrounding or on either side of a grain of mace decomposition of rekev, and the two outnumber the one, thereby neutralizing it or considering it void as if it's not there, and by reducing the one grain of rekev material, so you no longer have a complete moloi tarvot, a complete spoonful. The amino laho. So Rabbah says, I then spoke up and responded to them and said, Adarabbah, to the contrary, e efshir shelo yarbu shtei predos rekev al, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, al predo achas shel offer, that it's impossible that you wouldn't have two grains of rekev material, of decomposition material, that surround one grain of dirt, and thereby neutralizing or voiding the dirt, and in fact, v'nofish lei shira, and thereby increasing the amount of rekev, because the thought being that when you have two against one, the one that's in the minority becomes like the two, and hence you would in fact have more rekev as a result of this. So Rabbah is using the logic of the Talmidei Debei Rav against them, so to speak. So the question remains, why does Rabbi Shimon Metaher? Elo Omar Rabbah Hainu Taimo de Rabbi Shimon. So here we have a number two, which is in contrast with the one, which was the reason they gave for Rabbi Shimon's being Metaher. Here we have Rabbah's reason for Rabbi Shimon's being Metaher. Sofo ketchiloso. The end is like the beginning. What do we mean by that? Ma tchilosoi na seloi dover acher gan giloin. The word gan gilon, Rashi says, is a word meaning bitul. Bitul is cancellation or voiding of something. So we're dealing right now with the topic of corpse decomposition. Shortly, we will learn a good deal more about that. But in the meantime, Rabbah says that the rules concerning rekev, corpse decomposed material, decomposed corpse material, the rules that govern it are the same as the rules that govern the initial decomposing process and the rules that apply to that. So we'll see very shortly that there are certain rules that apply to the creation of rekev, and using that as a basis, we'll then understand why Rabbi Shimon is lenient with regard to the rekev material in its final form. Hopefully, as we go on, this will become much clearer. So the Gemara asks, "Mahi, what are you referring to when you speak about the tchilas rekev?" So the source begins, Ezehu meis sheyesh lo rekev, ve'ezehu meis she'ein loy rekev. What situation would be described as a corpse that develops rekev, and what is a situation, or what kind of situation will it be that there won't be any rekev. Now, when we speak about rekev, it's true we spoke about decomposed material, but we're talking right now about halachic decomposed material, and which means it'll be that kind of rekev that if you have a spoonful of it, it will generate tumas oihel. Of course, all corpses decompose, but we're asking right now, under what circumstances will the decomposed corpse result in a molo tarvid that's capable of generating tumah, and under what circumstances will we say no? So the Gemara, the source goes on to say, nikbar orum ba'oroin shel shayish, if a corpse is buried, I mean naked without any shrouds on it, in a marble coffin, oy al gabi ritzba shel avonim, or on a floor, in other words, the bottom of the grave is made of stone. Zehu meis shiyesh loy rekev. That's an example of a mace that will generate halachic rekev, halachic decomposition material. The point being that it's pure corpse material because the coffin or the floor is made of solid material, whether it be marble or stone, so there's nothing of that that gets mixed in the decomposing body, and there are no shrouds on the body either so as to interfere or counter the corpse itself that's decomposing. V'ezu meis she'en lo rekev, what is the case of the mace that does not generate rekev? Nikbar b'ksuso O ba'oron shel eitz, if a corpse is buried in clothing and shrouds, or it's buried in a wooden coffin, O agabi ritzbo shel levenim, or it's placed on a brick floor, zehu meis she'ein loy rekev, that corpse, as it decomposes, will not generate halachic rekev. And the reason being is that you have in that situation that's just been described other materials that are getting mixed in or decomposing along with the corpse. V'lo omru rekev elo lemeis bilvad. The concept of rekev is said only with regard to a mace. Now, what is being excluded? In other words, it's obvious that if you have, let's say, a dead sheretz or a dead nevela, there's no rekev to speak about. That's obvious. So what is being excluded when you say that the rules of rekev apply only to the mace, to the dead? So the Gemara explains, limute horug delo. This is to the exclusion of a murder victim, where we say that the rule of rekev does not apply. Rashi explains that rekev comes about only when you had a complete corpse that decomposed. A murder victim is associated with someone who has been, say, pierced, punctured, shot at, and hence there was blood loss, and the blood loss makes it such that it's not viewed any longer as a complete mace. As Rashi says, l'fishi yotza domoi v'choser v'kaima seches nazir, Rashi is telling us that since there was blood loss, that's considered a diminishing, and it's established in maseches nazir, meis shechoser ein lo rekev, a diminished corpse does not produce rekev. Continuing in the Gemara, Gufa, we have a now focus on something that had been mentioned earlier. We've double underlined the expression below tarvid rekev. There are two halachas applying to this quantity of decomposed material. So if you have a melo tarvid rekev shenofa l'soicha ofer kol shehu, tomei. Rabbi Shimon Mitayer, the same machlokas that we saw alluded to earlier, you see here presented in its original source, that a molot tarvid rekev, this spoonful of decomposed corpse material into which there fell some dirt, the Tanakhama says the falling in of the dirt doesn't diminish its tumah capacity, and Rabbi Shimon says it does. Malot tarvid rekev shenispazi bebayis tomei. The Tanakhama speaks here about a house being tomei, even though the malot tarvid rekev has been scattered in the house. It's not concentrated in one spot. Rabbi Shimon mitayer, and Rabbi Shimon says that the house is tohor. So we have two halachas of malot tarvid rekev, and in each one you have the same machloikis tanoyim utzricha, and the Gemara points out I need for both of these examples to be taught. The iashmina kamaisa, we had only the first case with the dirt getting mixed into the malot tarvid rekev. Pahi kamri rabbonon, there maybe the rabbonon would have limited their Tuma remark to that case, mishum de machnif, because machnif means gather together. In that case, the malo tarvid is still concentrated in one spot, one spoonful, if you will. Aval nispazer, but in the second case where we speak about the malo tarvid rekev getting scattered in the house under this roof, emo modu lo l'Rebbe Shimon. Maybe they would have conceded to Rabbi Shimon, who said Tohar, Di'ein Mahil V'chozer U'Mahil. We don't say that the little bit in one location joins up with the little bit under the same roof in another location. Literally, Ein Mahil, you don't have overshadowing and then again a re-overshadowing. But it has to do with the different locations under the same roof where you have little amounts, partial quantities of the Malo Tarvid. The Ashmin and Beha, had we taught only the second case, Beha, I would have thought that only there, Omar Rabbi Shimon Dein Mahil V'chozer Mahil, that the reason for the Tara is because of this factor. You don't have joining up of partial quantities into one complete quantity to create the Tuma. Avol Baha, with regard to the first case, Emo Modu Mode Lahula Rabbonan, that there Rabbi Shimon might have, I would have thought, agreed with the Rabbonan, that there is Tuma Tzricha. Therefore, in addition to the second case having to be taught, I need the first case as well, so as to show the respective opinions of each one of these authorities. Tanyo Idoch, we have another Tanaic source, Melo Tarvid V'Uid Ofor Beis HaKforos Tomei Rabbi Shimon Metaher. This source is describing the shiur of Melo Tarvid, but Melo Tarvid V'Od, a spoonful plus of cemetery dirt. The Tanakhama says, if you have a malot tarvid v'od of cemetery dirt, it's tomei. And Reb Shimon says tohor. Mai taimaihu de rabbonan. What is the reason for the rabbonan that say that there is tuma? L'fi, they end because she'ef shel malot tarvid v'od ofar beis akvaras. You can't imagine that amount of cemetery dirt, she'ein bo malo tarvid rekev, that there isn't a full tarvid rekev present. So that if you go over the malo tarvid of cemetery dirt, you're going to ensure that you have the malo tarvid of corpse decomposition. Hashto the Amris Taimod Rabbi Shimon Mishum Sofo Kitchiloso. Now that we've explained the basis of Rabbi Shimon regarding the case of the dirt mixed in with the Melo Tarvid Rekev, and the explanation of that being that the rules that apply to the final decomposition material are the same as the rules that apply for regarding the formation of rekev, namely when something else is mixed in so it doesn't come to be. You have the gangilon, the neutralizing factor of those other substances, whether it be shrouds or wooden coffins, etc. Gabi shilya, my taimo. Regarding the shilya, we saw Rabbi Shimon speak about a shilya found in a house, and the house is tahor. What is the reason for that? Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Now you'll notice we have a triangle around Rabbi Yochanan. This will be beneficial when we, as we go on in the sugit, where Rabbi Yochanan again appears later with a triangle, and we'll need to make an association. The Gemara will say that Rabbi Yochanan's ruling here, who says Omar Rabbi Yochanan mishum bittul beroiv nagu ba, the reason for the tahara is because of the embryo material which would have generated the tumah has been neutralized by being out quantitied through the rove. Rove means a majority of other material. Before going further in the Gemara, it's worth our while to point out a marking that we didn't mention earlier. But you'll notice under the expression Gabi Shilya Mai Taimo, we have a double underline with a design in between them. This is to be paralleled with that which we saw on Chof Zayin Omad Aleph. You have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, where we used this same marking, where we were trying to find out the reason behind Rabbi Shimon that was Mitayer in the case of the placenta found in the house. So hence the Gemara here is referring back to that topic, and that's why we have this marking to help us focus on the different approaches to Rabbi Shimon's shita of being Matayer the house in which the shilya was found. So here the Gemara is asking Gabi shilya my taima, and Rabbi Yochanan answers Om Rabbi Yochanan mishum bitul beroiv nagu ba, the reason the house is tor is because there is a majority of other substances that are mixed in. And Rashi explains, Bitol Baroiv, Shedam Haleda, Nisraba Al Michui Havladu Mavatlo. The birth blood, in the birth process, the woman releases her own blood in the delivery of the child, and all of that blood gets mixed up in with the dissolved embryo that is present and neutralizes it. The Ozda Rabbi Yochanan Litamei. Rabbi Yochanan here is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. And so we go on, and eventually we'll come up with another statement of Rabbi Yochanan that will parallel that which we just said. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon ve Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omru davar echad. And we should also point out that this is a long point that we're involved with right now to see where Rabbi Yochanan makes his additional comments. So all of this is leading up to where Rabbi Yochanan appears later. So Rabbi Yochanan tells us that the Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say the same thing. Rabbi Shimon ha damoran. Well, we just got finished speaking about Rabbi Shimon. That's mitahir in the case of the shilya in the house, and the reason for the tara is because of the mixing in of other materials. Rabbi Elazar. What is the case of Rabbi Eliezer? We just mentioned that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says the same thing as Rabbi Shimon, so what is the context in which Rabbi Eliezer's comment was made? Desanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, Behemo Gasa Sheshofa Haroras Dam. A Behemo Gasa, a large animal like a cow, that cast forth a block of blood. Hare zu tikover uftura min habechora. Now, we should have mentioned that this discussion is in the context of rules concerning a firstborn animal. Firstborn male animal is called a bechor, and it's essentially, under normal circumstances, it would be brought as a sacrifice after having been given to a kohen. So an animal that has not given birth yet, this is its first birth, and what does it release? It releases a block of blood. So the Tanakhama says it shall be buried, and it's exempt from Bechorah, which would mean that if it gives birth to a subsequent child, a subsequent offspring, that will not be given to a Kohen. The Tani Rabbi Chiya Allah, and Rabbi Chiya has a teaching concerning this, which says, Eino mitama lo b'mago v'lo b'maso. This block of blood will not communicate the tumah that's associated with a dead animal in general. In other words, in general, a dead animal will communicate tumah through contact, through touching maga, or through its being carried around even without touching it, and that's called masa, through supporting it or carrying it. So Reb Chiya tells us that this block of blood will not communicate tumas nevela. Well, the obvious question needs to be asked here. Umei achar she'eino mitama lo b'malo v'lo b'maso. Following Reb Chiya's teaching that says that this block of blood does not communicate tuma associated with a dead animal, amai tikover. So then why bury it? Apparently you're making a statement here that it's not a dead animal. So if it's not a dead animal, why does it need to be buried? The burial would have been a sign that it is a bechor. It's simply dissolved bechor, and hence it needs to be treated with dignity or seriousness, and that would be through its burial. But if you're saying that it doesn't communicate any tuma, so you're in effect saying it's not a dead animal, it's just blood, and hence it shouldn't need to be buried. The Gemara answers, Kidei lefarsimo shehi ptura min habechora. The burial will create public awareness. It'll publicize. Farsimo is to publicize that the mother, this animal, the mother that just released the block of blood, is now exempt from the rules of Bechorah concerning subsequent births. Well, if she's now exempt from Bechorah, that would mean Alma Vlad Ma'alia Hu. It would mean that this is a Bechor then. This block of blood is the Bechor. Otherwise, what exempted the mother? Well, if it's a Vlad Ma'alia, if it's considered a total complete Bechor, V'amai Toni Rabbi Chiya, so then why is there the Rabbi Chiya teaching that said, Eino mitama lo b'mago v'lo b'maso, that there is no Tumah? If it is a Bechor, so it's a dead Bechor, and that would communicate Tumah. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Bitul Beroiv Nagu Ba. Here you see the Rabbi Yochanan triangle. Again, the second comment of Rabbi Yochanan regarding Bitul Barov. Here too, there is Bechor present. However, as far as Tuma is concerned, it's been neutralized. The Nevela aspect has been neutralized because of the other fluids that are present here. The other birth fluids, the blood that got mixed in, which was in greater quantity than the actual nevela that was here representing the Bechor. Omar Rabbi Ami, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Umoide Rabbi Shimon, She'imo Tmeo Leda. With regard to the Mishnah, in the case of the Shilya, even though the house is Tahor, the mother, nevertheless, is considered as a woman who gave birth. So, regarding this case of the shilya found in the house, that Reb Shimon is mitaher, nevertheless, there is a birth. As far as the Tara of the house is concerned, that was because of the other liquids that got mixed in, but that doesn't diminish the fact that the mother experienced a birth. So the rules of Tumas Leda apply. Omar hu sabo le Rabbi Ami. Asbro loch taimo de Rabbi Yochanan. So the hahu sabo, which is literally a particular old man or a sage, he says to Rabbi Ami, I will give you the reason of Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Isha ki Sazria v'yolda Zohar, and it goes on to say, V'toma Shivas Yomim. And we darshan this to mean, Afilu lo yolda elo ke'ein Shehizria, even if that which she gave birth to was decomposed or liquefied material, just like the initial conception is through liquefied material. Tamei Oleda, the Pasuk says she will be Tamei, so that the placenta that was discharged, together with dissolved embryo material, that doesn't counter the concept or the rules of Tumas Leda that will apply, as this Pasuk was just explained. Before continuing in the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, Meis shenizbalbel tsurosoi, and Meis shenisraf v'shildoi kayemes, a case of a corpse whose form has been changed or stirred up, and a case of a body which has burnt. It's been burnt, but its form is still intact. Reish Lakish Omar, Shvir shetorfuhu b'meimov nase kemeis shenisbalbala tsuroso. A shvir is the early stages of embryonic development. So if you had such a you had a shvir, and it was torfu is something that's like when we beat eggs, that action of beating the eggs, of stirring them, beating them together and mixing it up, is what happened to this shvir. So he says it's going to be treated the same way as a body, a meis shenisbalbala tsurasai. Omar le Rabbi Yochanan le Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan starts a question. And we're labeling this as a long question. You can see the long question marking that continues till the upper part of Daf Chof Ches. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, Meis shenisbalbal tsuros minolan detohar, a corpse whose form has been mixed up, from where do you know that it is tahor? In leimo meha di amar Reb Shabsai amar Reb Yitzchok Magdala, the Amri law, another version of the name is amar Reb Yitzchok Magdala amar Reb Shabsai. Meis shenisraf v'shildo kayemes tomei, a body that has been burnt, but it appears to be a charred corpse, but the form is still intact. It is tomei. It generates tuma, even though it's been completely burnt. That's the pshat we're using for the time being. Nevertheless, its form is still intact. It generates tuma. Maisehoya v'timuloi psochim gedoilim. The tiharu at the top of the avchav ches, the tiarlo psochim ketanim. An incident happened, and they ruled that the passageways of the house in which this corpse that was burnt was found, passageways measuring 4 by 4 handbreadths, 4 by 4 tochim, are tomei, meaning any vessels that are kept in the doorways that have this doorways or windows that have this dimension of 4x4 tvachim, there is tuma present there. The tiaru lo psochim ktanim, and the small openings, less than 4 tvachim, were declared tohor. The kodaikis mina, and you want to infer from that ruling time of the shilda kayemes. The reason for the tuma is because the form is intact, and when you have something that measures 4x4 tvachim, so the mace in its entirety can be brought out through any one of those openings. Now, we want to infer that the reason for the tuma is because the form is intact. Ha lav hachi, if it wouldn't be intact, tahor, there would be tahara. Well, adarabah, using that logic, we can say the opposite. Dok mina lahai gisa, infer from that to the other direction. Shildo kayemes, hu the tiarolo psochim ktanim. Only because the body was in complete shape, complete form, were we able to declare the small openings tahor, meaning that we're not going to be bringing the form through the small openings because the body shape is in full form, and it wouldn't fit through the small openings. Ha lav hachi, had the body form not been intact, psochim ktanim nami tamein, even the small openings would have been declared tamei, dechol chad v'chad chozi lafuke chad chad ever, because through each one of the small openings, one of the limbs of this body could have been brought out. So that if the question is, from where do you know that a mace shenizbal b'lo tzuraso is tohor, and you're basing it on this teaching of Rav Shabsai regarding the burnt body, well, you can't conclude what you are trying to conclude from there. From this discussion, one gets the clear impression that Rabbi Yochanan simply disagrees with Reish Lakish's whole halacha. Therefore, the Gemara goes on, Omar le Ravina le Ravashi. Rabbi Yochanan di Omar Keman. Rabbi Yochanan, who disagrees with Reish Lakish and will tell you that a mace shenisbal b'lo tzurasoi does generate tuma, so what is his teaching based on? Rebbe Eliezer, he is based on Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. Disnan, Efer Srufin, the ash that comes from burnt bodies. Rebbe Eliezer Omer Shiura Berova. That means if you have a Rova Kav of Efer Srufin, it will generate Tuma. The continuing piece of Gemara that we, Amir Tzashem, will do during our next shiur will focus on this topic of a body that is burnt, but yet its form remains intact. How could such a thing come to be? So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.